This morning, America's First News starts right after this. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Advancing COVID relief. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Friday, March 5th. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Senate Democrats have tweaked a massive coronavirus stimulus measure. Also, after some stalling and a procedural vote, debate will begin this morning.
A Republican governor is extending her state's mask mandate. Hear the reasons from Alabama's Kay Ivey.
An investigation finds the top aides to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo altered reports on the number of nursing home deaths tied to COVID.
And how our appetite for streaming services continues to grow during the pandemic.
We've been at home for the last 10 to 11 months. And movie theaters were closed for much of the time. I think now they're like 25 or 30% open. And we can't go to concerts, can't go to sports events. So we've got our entertainment at home.
Mike Snyder at USA Today on our streaming obsession. The latest stimulus bill has advanced in the Senate after a partisan procedural vote. Democrats made a few adjustments to the measure that's already passed the House. Senators shrank the pool of Americans who will receive $1,400 stimulus payments. The cap is now $80,000 in annual income for individuals and $160,000 for couples. Wisconsin Republican Ron Johnson.
The vast majority of this has nothing to do with COVID relief, evidenced by the fact that nobody knows exactly how much. But probably close to $1 trillion of the previous $4 trillion we've already authorized is not yet spent.
Senate Democrats also added a provision that would make much student loan forgiveness free from income taxes. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer expects to complete the legislation this week. The House will then need to approve the updated version. It took staff more than 10 hours, by the way, to read the 628 bill out loud on the Senate floor. After a request from Senator Ron Johnson, finishing at 2 a.m. this morning, debate begins at 9 o'clock. Alabama is extending its mask mandate for another month to further protect against the spread of the coronavirus. Governor Kay Ivey is breaking with fellow Republicans in Texas and Mississippi who are lifting statewide mask orders. Alabama's mask mandate, set to expire today, will now stay in effect until April 9.
We are definitely indication that we are moving in the right direction. And I certainly want to thank the people of Alabama once again for their tremendous help and support to get us where we are.
Many U.S. states and major cities have begun to ease lockdowns that were imposed a year ago. Connecticut yesterday announced that it will lift all capacity limits for restaurants, stores, gyms, offices, and other spaces 2 weeks from today. As of yesterday, 34 U.S. states, along with Washington, D.C., still mandate that residents wear masks in public. About 45,000 COVID patients were being treated in U.S. hospitals as of Wednesday night. That's down from a peak of about 132,000 2 months ago. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, currently facing sexual harassment accusations from at least three women, now faces another scandal. The New York Times says when state health officials indicated last June that more than 9,000 nursing home residents had died of COVID, his top aides rewrote the report to remove that figure. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The Times says the extraordinary intervention, which came just as Mr. Cuomo was starting to write a book on his pandemic achievements, was the earliest act yet known in what critics have called a months-long effort by the governor and his aides to obscure the full scope of nursing home deaths. The Times also says the central role played by the governor's top aides reflected the lengths to which Mr. Cuomo has gone in the middle of a deadly pandemic to control data, ignore public health expertise, and position himself as a national leader. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. The story says as the nursing home report was being written, the New York State Health Department's data put the death toll roughly 50% higher than the figure that's being publicly cited by the Cuomo administration. Coming up next, a fast food company enters the beauty business. Dell's semi-annual sale is the perfect opportunity for a significant business upgrade. Save up to 45% on Dell computers built for business and powered by Intel Core processors. Plus, enjoy special pricing on Dell docks, monitors, servers, and more, all with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today to find the right tech for your business with fast, free shipping. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday. The Labor Department releases the February employment numbers later today. Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com, says expectations are fairly restrained with little movement in the jobless rate, which is currently at 6.3%. Mark, explain.
Well, it might surprise some, Gordon, that I think expectations for this report are fairly muted, meaning we're not really expecting to see a substantial improvement in the job market in the month of February. And it's worth reminding ourselves here that this data is captured around the second week of the month. And these days, you know, a day feels like a long time, and a month feels like forever in some ways. So let's remember that essentially we're talking about the situation nearly a month earlier. And while I think, you know, we're still seeing elevated levels of new claims for unemployment benefits, about 1.2 million individuals receiving some form of unemployment compensation as of the latest data capture weekly snapshot, I do think that in the coming months, we'll see a more substantial improvement in the job market. But we have a very large hole to dig out of, and we're not going to dig out of that hole right away. But, you know, I think we'll be happy to see some restoration of many of the jobs that have been lost in the coming months.
Recap those numbers, Mark, of people who are, say, unemployed, looking for work, or don't have enough work.
Yeah, this is quite stunning to me when we sort of look past the headline numbers, and it helps to portray the level of stress that the economy really is continuing to experience. So as of the most recent monthly employment report, Labor Department told us that there, first of all, were officially 10 million Americans unemployed. And let's remember that there are many others who are dependent on those individuals as proverbial breadwinners. On top of that, on top of the 10 million, 6 million working part-time but want full-time work. So that is officially underemployed. And another 7 million individuals not in the labor force, i.e. not working or looking for work, but want to work. And so we know that millions of Americans have exited the labor force. Mm-hmm. Some of that has been essentially a decision to stay home where children can't go to school. And so we do think that some of that will be alleviated in the coming months. And one of the key questions will be how many individuals will make the decision to return to the labor force and find work, how many will deem it safe to do so, and how many will have jobs to go back to, because we have lost many businesses during this downturn.
Yeah. We're speaking with Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com. I wanted to ask you about one stat that you found in your studies here, and it says the vast majority of Americans, some 76% of adults, indicate they will feel comfortable going out in public once vaccinated. Is that 76% a good number?
Well, I think, you know, ultimately we'd like 100% of Americans to have some confidence, you know, based on reality, that we hope that'll be the case, that they will be safe to go back into public and resume the economic activity, as well as everything else that previously we had taken for granted. This is a Bankrate survey that I analyzed and have been talking about for a number of days now, where we asked Americans, are you going to get vaccinated? 70% said they're likely to do that. 30% said they're likely not to. And then about 24% of Americans said they would not feel comfortable going back into public and going to stores and so on and so forth. That doesn't mean that they would refuse to do it, but I think there's still going to be some lingering fear of the virus, and perhaps at least some of that is warranted given the fact that it's a rather crafty devil. Given the fact that we've seen all these variants or mutations, some of which seem to be more concerning than others, but apparently the vaccinations will help to address those.
Thanks, Mark. Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate.com. By the way, Reuters says its polling of economists indicates that job growth likely accelerated in February thanks to more services business reopening and vaccination rates increasing. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The Senate is set to resume debate this morning on the $1.9 trillion COVID relief package after proceedings were delayed by a 10-hour, 43-minute out loud reading of the measure. In protest of the bill, Republican Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin objected to waiving the reading.
I feel bad for the clerks who are going to have to read it, but it's just important. You know, so often we rush these massive bills that are hundreds, if not thousands of pages long. You don't have time. Nobody has time to read them.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said Johnson's move would accomplish little more than a few sore throats for Senate clerks.
Number two.
The New York Times and Wall Street Journal are reporting the top aides to New York Governor Andrew Cuomo altered a state health department report to obscure the true number of people killed by COVID-19 in the state's nursing homes. The reports say the aides pushed state health officials to edit the July report so only residents who died inside long-term care facilities and not those who became ill there and later died at a hospital were counted.
Number three.
Alabama Governor Kay Ivey is resisting calls to drop a face mask requirement in her state as Republican governors across the South either shunned mask mandates altogether or lifted them in late winter.
Even with this positive news, however, Dr. Harris and I are both convinced that we need to get past Easter and hopefully allow more Alabamians to get their first shot before we take a step some other states have taken to remove the mask order altogether and lift other restrictions.
Ivey issued Alabama's mask order in July and announced yesterday she would extend it to April 9th. Worried about continuing threats, the acting chief of the U.S. Capitol Police has appealed to congressional leaders to use their influence to keep National Guard troops at the Capitol 2 months after the law enforcement breakdowns of the deadly January 6th insurrection. The board that oversees the Guard has so far declined to extend an emergency declaration required by the Pentagon to keep guardsmen on site. Here's an unusual mashup. Fast food and makeup. Chipotle and ELF Beauty have teamed up to create a limited edition collection that includes the Chipotle Eyeshadow Palette, Make It Hot Lip Gloss, and the Extra Guac Face Sponge Set, which comes in an avocado shape. The company say there's nothing tastier or prettier than the combination of burritos and makeup.
Okay. I was sort of thinking, boy, this salad tastes bland. Hey, let me grab some makeup from my toiletries kit. And
something to talk about, I guess.
Weird. Thanks, Jen. We used to complain there were too many streaming services battling for our money, right? Now we can't binge enough. Of course, the coronavirus restrictions have changed our entertainment behaviors. As a result, nearly all Americans subscribe to a streaming service, with most of us paying for perhaps five or more. Insight from Mike Snyder, tech reporter at USA Today. Mike, paint this picture.
Since we've been at home for the last 10 to 11 months, and movie theaters were closed for much of the time. I think now they're like 25 or 30% open. And we can't go to concerts, can't go to sports events. So we got our entertainment at home. Well, back in around 2018 or so, people had two or three services on average across the U.S. Now there's all this data coming out from last year that shows that most homes may have five subscriptions or more. So, you know, if we're home a lot, we may see everything we want on either Netflix or Disney Plus or whatever. We need to get another service. So you may have gotten Amazon Prime because you got things delivered over the pandemic. So now you check out HBO. We have new services, HBO Max, you know, that came out that maybe you decide to try that. So people are investing more money in streaming services because they need something in their downtime.
Jeez. The five services is just amazing. Do we keep all those when, say, we return to what we'll consider the new normal in, I don't know, late summer, early fall?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, the easier it is for them to cancel a service and restart it, they're more likely to stay with the service. And they use as the topic example, this is Netflix. I mean, you can just pause your Netflix and get it back. And what they're saying is you may actually need to give them a time to pause and then automatically restart. They need better customer service to keep these services in the months going ahead. But, you know, I think even just thinking of myself, I'm not automatically going to become the guy I was a year and a half ago when I get my COVID vaccine. I mean, I think a lot of people are going to be you know, very cautious about how they go out in the public. So there's a good chance that these services will keep keep the subscribers, and if they keep adding, you know, as HBO Max had Wonder Woman, Disney had Soul, and I think Mulan. I forget what Mulan was free. Or I think if the live action was free. Anyway, if they keep adding these, you know, what would be possible blockbusters at theaters, they put them on the service, and you get it. You've already paid for it. I mean, that's a good way to keep it. We always know there's something coming down the road. We may stick with the service.
Mm. We're speaking with Mike Snyder, tech writer at USA Today. He's written about the sharp increase in the way we use streaming services. Are you more likely to have a streaming service, Mike, if you're a cable cutter or you support cable cutting?
Just on all the coverage I've done over the years, I think if you are a cable cutter, yes, you need the service because that's how you get your content.
Thanks, Mike. Mike Snyder, tech writer at USA Today. By the way, speaking of streaming services, CBS All Access is now known as Paramount Plus. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
For the ones finding new ways to ensure the job always gets done. For the ones wearing many hats. For the ones who are hands-on, even from far away. And the ones keeping business moving forward. We are Grainger, offering supplies and solutions for every industry, with 24/7 support and experienced staff at over 250 local branches. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is America's First News, preparing you for the day ahead with headlines and in-depth analysis. This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday, March 5. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. After procedural hurdles, the Senate begins debating the latest COVID relief bill this morning. Alabama extends its mask mandate. New York Times says top aides to New York's Governor Cuomo altered reports about nursing home deaths. Pope Francis visits Iraq this weekend. S&P facing a third week of declines. Louisiana State Today releases a report about how the university has handled dozens of sexual misconduct cases. And the volunteers who built a wheelchair ramp for a war vet confined to his home. That story in about 20 minutes. Though his deliberations are being overshadowed by the response to the coronavirus and arm wrestling with Iran, President Biden is quietly struggling with one of the most consequential early decisions he will make, and that's whether to proceed with the complete withdrawal of American troops from Afghanistan. In-depth analysis from Jerry Seib, executive Washington editor at the Wall Street Journal. Jerry, how do you see it?
Well, what happened a year ago is that President Trump agreed as part of a peace process with the Afghan government and the Taliban, which is trying to overthrow the Afghan government, to withdraw all U.S. troops by the end of May this year. What's happened now is the peace process is kind of stalling out. Violence is going up, and there are 2,500 U.S. troops left in Afghanistan. And the new president, Joe Biden, now has to figure out whether to make good on that U.S. pledge to get out by the end of May, or to recalibrate and stay in, as some people in the military and as an outside congressional group has recommended, because things could get very rocky very fast without a U.S. military presence, and the peace process hasn't really taken hold. This is kind of a perennial story. I mean, four presidents in a row have tried to get out of Afghanistan, can't quite figure out how to do it safely. And the problem specifically for Joe Biden is that as a candidate, he said, I will get out of forever wars, including Afghanistan. Now he has to decide whether to just make good on that promise because it was a promise, or to take into consideration circumstances on the ground that don't look so appealing for keeping that promise.
Yeah. I mean, the Taliban basically just lies in wait, right, till the U.S. departs.
Well, what's interesting is they're not just lying in wait. They're actually launching some attacks. There's actually been an increase in violence, the UN has found, since last September, when the Taliban and the Afghan government finally, after all these years, sat down and started to talk about peace. So while there was conversation about peace, there was actually an uptick in Taliban violence. So, you know, they're not simply sitting back and waiting. That would actually be better if that's what they were doing, but that's not what's happened. So it's a difficult situation. There's no obvious right or wrong answer here. I think, though, that there's a conversation underway now within the administration and probably in the region about whether there should be a recalibration of the U.S. goal. Ambassador Khalilzad, Zalmay Khalilzad, who's been the U.S. representative to Afghanistan in the last administration and this administration, is in Afghanistan this week and talking to others in the region, trying to figure out what's the best path forward here.
We're speaking with Jerry Seib. How does the Biden administration handle critics or criticism that says it's not our business, get out?
Well, that was kind of what candidate Biden said. I think the reality is you have to weigh that against, and this is, again, true for every administration since George W. Bush's, this desire to get out, which is longstanding and bipartisan, always has to be weighed against the consequences for American security if that's what happened. And I think some people in the U.S. military worry that without a U.S. presence of some kind there, things go downhill very quickly. The Taliban probably have the power to take over Kabul, the capital city. Advances for women and education in Afghanistan that have been made since the Taliban was pushed out could be rolled back. And more important for all that, there could be a kind of resurgence of Afghanistan as an incubator for Islamic extremists, the very kind who attacked the U.S. on 9/11 from a base in Afghanistan. And, you know, there could be regional instability. And you have to remember that Pakistan just next door has its own Islamic extremist problem, and it has 150 to 200 nuclear weapons. So there are regional security issues that always come back when people say, well, let's just get out of Afghanistan. It's never been that simple. If it were, the U.S. would have left years ago.
Does Afghanistan want us there?
Depends on who you're talking about when you say Afghanistan. Yeah. Certainly the Afghan government currently does want us there because, you know, they're very vulnerable to the Taliban at this point. There are others in Afghanistan who probably think that 20 years of U.S. military presence hasn't brought them stability and peace, and so maybe it's time to try something different.
Thanks, Jerry. Jerry Seib, Executive Washington Editor at The Wall Street Journal. It is time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, chances are you're familiar with Baker Mayfield, either as the quarterback of a suddenly pretty good Cleveland Browns team or as the star of countless commercials that portray him as actually living in the Cleveland Browns stadium. In real life, Mayfield does actually leave the stadium, and what he saw in the sky this week might have him thinking twice about that. On Wednesday, Mayfield claimed he and wife Emily Wilkinson may have witnessed a real-life UFO while driving home from dinner. Mayfield said on Twitter that he was almost 100% sure that he saw a very bright ball of light going straight down out of the sky toward Lake Travis in Texas. Wilkinson also opened up about the story on social media, saying that she's not typically someone who buys into UFO talk, but that she definitely saw something she had not seen before and was a little thrown off after the incident. Whether real or not, the Mayfields aren't the only ones spotting unexplained objects in the sky. The Wall Street Journal reported in September that UFO sightings were up by over 50% during the pandemic.
Wow, because we were drinking so much, we were seeing things.
Maybe, possibly. You know, we're not really sure. That just another side effect of COVID has brought to us is more UFO sightings.
We're staring so much at the TV, having binged yet another problem or another program,
right,
that we have spots in front of our eyes. So we look outside the window for a break for a minute, and we just see things in the sky.
Yes,
these are all
Gordon Deal's more logical explanations, but we can't rule anything out at this point.
Can I bring up something awkward, by the way, from your story, which I did not realize?
Okay.
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
Oklahoma, former Oklahoma quarterback.
Yeah.
Emily Wilkinson.
Yes.
University of Nebraska.
Oh.
Whoa. How does that happen? Oklahoma guy marries Nebraska girl?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, that's
awkward conversations among Baker's Oklahoma guys. Yeah, no,
you know, marries, I guess, a little less as you exit college.
Yeah, you think you mature with these things eventually.
You'd think, but you know,
some people do.
Not everybody does. We know. We know some people who would never do that.
Yes.
Who would never cross those lines.
Right.
But some of us, we got to move on at some point.
Okay.
And speaking of NFL signal callers, we know that Tom Brady has been around throwing touchdowns seemingly forever, but we're almost positive he wasn't playing in the NFL back in 1983. You know who was throwing passes in 1983? Terry Bradshaw. And this week, the Hall of Famer and longtime Fox commentator admitted to The Athletic that 38 years ago to the day, he was secretly admitted to a Louisiana hospital for elbow surgery using an alias. That alias, Thomas Brady. At the time, reigning Super Bowl MVP Thomas Brady was just 5 years old. The 72-year-old Bradshaw joked that back then, he and Brady actually had a lot in common. Same initials, same number, and he even had hair.
Wow. Wow.
Okay. That's a wacky coincidence.
Yeah.
He didn't say how or why he came up with that name, or, you know, how that came to him. Mm. I don't know if it's a family name or a friend or something like that. Not sure how he came up with Thomas Brady.
Wow. You say he was still throwing passes in 1983?
Well, I mean, I think he threw three passes.
I was just looking up his stats as you were finishing your story.
Yeah.
He was 5-for-8. I think he only played in one game.
Yeah, well, I guess after this surgery, as I found out, after the surgery, he kind of came back too soon, and the elbow never really quite healed, and that wound up being his last game, and I guess his last season or something like that. Yeah. So, yeah.
Maybe if he had used his real name, they would have taken the surgery much more seriously.
Yeah, perhaps.
Who knows? Conspiracy theories abound. Thanks, Mike. Dell's semi-annual sale is the perfect opportunity for a significant business upgrade. Save up to 45% on Dell computers built for business and powered by Intel Core processors. Plus, enjoy special pricing on Dell docks, monitors, servers, and more. All with easy financing options through Dell Financial Services. Speak to a Dell Technologies advisor today to find the right tech for your business with fast, free shipping. Call 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for joining us. As efforts build to vaccinate more seniors and others against COVID-19, consumer watchdogs are aggressively getting the word out about scammers who will soon pivot their messaging around whatever dominates the news. The Detroit Free Press says the latest warnings, watch out for the next text or robocall that asks you to pay money up front to get onto a list to receive a vaccine. And don't click on links and texts that arrive out of the blue either. The FCC says anyone who asks for a payment to put you on a list, make an appointment for you, or reserve a spot in line is a scammer. Other signs of a scam, the caller will likely say they are associated with, quote, the local health department or, quote, your insurance provider. They're often not naming your specific county or even your state, and they may not even rattle off the name of your specific insurance provider. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Republican Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin forced the Senate to read all 628 pages of President Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID bill aloud on the Senate floor, delaying a vote on the legislation Democrats hope to make law by next week by 10 hours and 43 minutes.
It's actually hard to spend this much money, which is why we shouldn't be authorizing another $1.9.
Johnson says his tactic was about educating the public on what was in the package, which he has derided as full of provisions unrelated to COVID relief. As the clerk began reading the bill yesterday afternoon, Johnson was the only Republican senator in the chamber. The Senate will resume debate on the bill this morning.
Number two.
President Biden says he wants the U.S. to be the world's leader in roads, bridges, and ports as he met with a bipartisan group of House lawmakers.
It's not only creates jobs, but it makes us a hell of a lot more competitive around the world if we have the best infrastructure in the world.
Biden is seeking to fix crumbling infrastructure, a goal he highlighted during his White House campaign. The meeting came after the American Society of Civil Engineers on Wednesday gave the U.S. a grade of C- on infrastructure.
Number three.
A Dallas police officer has been arrested on two counts of capital murder after a man told investigators he had kidnapped and killed two people at the officer's instruction in 2017. Brian Reiser, a 13-year veteran of the force, was taken into custody yesterday. Dallas Police Chief Eddie Garcia.
The motive for these murders are unknown at this time. This remains an ongoing investigation.
A man came forward in August of 2019 and told police he had kidnapped and killed two people at Reiser's direction. Garcia did not explain why Reiser was arrested more than a year after the witness came forward. An independent market monitor says the Texas power grid operator made a critical mistake that resulted in $16 billion in electricity overcharges last month and recommended the charges be reversed. The monitor concluded that Texas kept wholesale prices high for 33 hours longer than warranted as the state dealt with a major winter storm. Betty Crocker is teaming up with Barbie to launch a new online kitchen lab called the Betty Lab. When families visit the Betty Lab, they get access to baking tutorials with a STEM twist. Each recipe will delve into the chemistry behind the baked item.
Well, I struggle enough with boiling water. I certainly don't need the chemistry behind certain
items. You don't want to learn the science?
Yeah, no.
All right.
Thanks, Jen. Volunteers for a California nonprofit that helps veterans have finished building a wheelchair ramp for a disabled Coast Guard vet who hadn't left his home in 2 years. Fox News says 83-year-old Chuck Wood has been unable to leave his Sacramento home without a ramp because leaving his front door required descending steps. The group Veterans of All Wars Riders built a ramp outside his home. Other organizations turned down Mr. Wood's request for a ramp, in part because the permitting process with the trailer park where he lives was so complicated. The president of the Riders group said in order to get a permit, he had to explain that Mr. Wood had no way to escape in the event of a fire. Volunteers gathered donations for the ramp through a GoFundMe page to cover costs for supplies. Home Depot donated supplies to the effort, and a local contractor volunteered his expertise. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.